Here's a note that comes in from Sandra. Now, this is not going to be a topic for children. For obvious reasons, when I say this, you'll understand why. So, parents, if you have children at present listening right now in Houston, California, or Traverse City, Michigan, or some other place where I know there's a whole bunch of kids listening, just turn the radio down for a few minutes, not too many, and if necessary, shoo them in the other room, let them play with Play-Doh or something like that. So, fair warning, ready, steady, go. Okay. So, this note comes in from Sandra, says, I need your advice. How and at what age did you and your wife initiate the topic of sexuality, specifically regarding procreation and marriage, with each of your children? Our boys are 9 and 11. Do you recommend my husband take the reins on this, or should both of us be present? Personally, I don't see it as a problem if I, being a woman, speak to them about this topic. My husband tells me it's far better that he, as a man, a father, have this conversation with them. What do you think? Great question, Sandra, and happy to answer it for you. So I'll take it in reverse order. I agree with your husband, and I think he's wise to want to have this conversation with the boys, at least initially, and not with the 9-year-old. I'll come back to that issue. 11, yeah, I think that's unfortunately right around the age where it's necessary to have the talk. 9-year-olds, not so much. I wish that it were not so young, but just in society that we live in right now, and if they're in public school, they've certainly been faced with this. Certainly the 11-year-old has. And even if they're in Catholic school, you know, kids on the playground talk and taunt each other and say things like that. They don't always know what it is they're talking about, but they say things that they hear elsewhere. So unfortunately, yes, I think the 11-year-old is definitely at that age now where it's appropriate. But as to your question, I think your husband is wise because there are two things I would say keep in mind. Number one, because of the nature of the topic itself and because you are mom, you are a woman, you don't want to run the risk of creating an environment when the talk happens that the son doesn't feel free or comfortable to ask questions. Now, sons don't always ask questions, but sometimes they do. And I just think my sense is that if you were there as mom, it would complicate matters and it could make a difficult situation even more difficult for that reason. The second reason is because of the nature of the topic that your husband as a father, as a husband, he is the right person for them to learn these things from. Now, if down the road you want to have a family discussion later or something, I mean, who am I to discourage that if you think it's the best thing to do? Who am I to discourage that? But I would strongly encourage that you follow your husband's lead on this issue and let him take the reins and let him have at least the initial talk or two. So as to your first question, how and at what age did we do this? Well, my wife handled this directly with all of our daughters. So we have 6 sons and 5 daughters. They're all grown up now. My oldest son now has a married daughter. So we have 29 grandchildren. We just found out number 29 is on the way. So looking, kind of surveying how all that played out, what I can tell you is that at about that age, at about 11, and it might have varied up to the age of 12 in the case of one or two of our sons, but I handled those talks with the sons. My wife handled those talks with the daughters. I was not present for the talks that she had with the daughters. She was not present with the talks I had with our sons. So that's the age. Now, how did we do it? So I really don't remember how Nancy did it, but I can tell you how I did it. So I would say to my son, because I love doing long walks, and one place, like when our oldest son was about 11 years old, one place that was really a beautiful place to walk was this old cemetery. And it had beautiful headstones and huge shady trees. And it was just a very peaceful, picturesque, lovely place. And I enjoyed all the time walking in the cemetery because, you know, there's no traffic and you're by yourself and it's a huge area. So it's a perfect place to walk. So I just said to my son, hey, I'm going on a walk and I'd like you to go with me. He's like, okay, sure. So we went on this walk. And so I gave the talk 2 times, but in 2 stages. So the first part of the talk was, hey, isn't it great? You know, you're 11 years old, 12, and pretty soon, you know, you're going to start becoming a man. And, you know, talk about how great it is when your voice gets deeper and you're going to start growing hair on your lip like a mustache like dad has. And you're going to build muscle and you're going to be more, you know, you're going to turn into a man. It doesn't happen all at once, but it happens. And you're at the point now where it's going to start happening. So my reason for going into this is to build him up and to underscore how good it is that your body is changing. This is good. This is not something to be afraid of. This is not something to be embarrassed about. This is good because God has designed the human body in such a way that guess what? When you become a man, you'll be able to be like me. You'll be able to be a husband. You'll be able to be a father. Someday you'll have your own kids. Won't that be great? So in other words, lots of positive reinforcement and giving explanations at the sort of natural physiological level so he won't fear the changes that come with puberty. And most of the conversation was simply at that level. It was this pep talk. And how long did it last? I don't remember. Half an hour, maybe, something like that. And he may have had a few questions, you know, well, why do you get an Adam's apple, Dad? What does that mean? You know, and so you do the best you can. You explain those physiological things. And I think at that, in that, toward the end of that talk, I also said, and there's, you know what, there's some other things that are part of this bigger picture, part of this big, wonderful change that's going on in your life right now. And I'm going to share those with you too, but we don't have time to do it right now. So you have any questions right now? Do you have any, you know, are you wondering about bodily changes and what they mean or anything? And, you know, we would talk about that. Then the second part of the talk was another walk. And as I recall, I believe it was in the same place. And we had another long walk, and we're just talking about this, that, and the other, how school, what's going on. Oh, hey, by the way, I was thinking, I wanted to mention to you, it occurred to me. You remember when we were walking last time, and we had the talk about how you're becoming a man and all that? Yeah, I remember that, yeah. So, well, you know, a few other things came to mind, and I told you I had a few other things I wanted to share with you. So let's talk about those now. And then just very matter-of-factly, I began to talk about procreation. So that he had a foundation already there, already present, understanding that, as I had told him earlier, the reason your body changes is because you're becoming a man. The reason you're becoming a man is so that you can be a husband and a father. And then in the second talk, I talked about how does that happen? How does it happen that you find a woman that you love, you fall in love, you get married, and God blesses you with children? Well, how exactly does that happen? And then I would explain how that happens. And at that point now, there's going to be some natural embarrassment on your son's part. There will be some hesitance. You know, most kids, I think, generally, they have this sort of built-in modesty. And perhaps they've already heard things, and they feel a little bit unsure. But this is why I say, let your husband do this, because he understands, even just instinctively, what it's like to be an 11-year-old boy. And he will understand, and he will know how to guide the conversation in a very good way, so that when it's all said and done, the son won't be embarrassed. He won't be wondering, well, you know, how does this work? How does that work? And he'll also know that if he has any questions, he can talk to his dad. Because his dad is going to say, you know what, if you have any questions, feel free to ask me. This is an open topic. If ever you're wondering or you're confused or you hear something weird at school or somebody says this, please never feel embarrassed to come to me and talk to me. Because I love you. And I'm so excited and happy that you're growing up to be a fine young man. And I want to do everything I can to help you. So I'll leave it at that.
You know, you gave me this advice about 5-6 years ago, and I took my son for a walk. And
let me hear about this. I want to hear how it went.
So we had the talk, and the talk was pretty funny. Like there was definitely some humor and laughing involved, but I knew they were going to talk about this in school. Like, I had gotten a letter from the school. It's like, hey, we're going to have the video and the talk, and here are the things that are being covered. And I'm looking at this list. I'm like, man, he's too young for this, but it's going to happen. And if I take him out,
right.
all of his friends are going to hear about it. And then he's going to hear about it secondhand through yeah. his friends. And none of that info is going to be worth anything.
Yeah, because a lot of that's going to be wrong anyway.
Big time.
Or it's going to be distorted.
You know yeah. it. And so I did take him for a walk, just like you suggested. And it worked out really well, because then I had his undivided attention
for 30, couldn't go anywhere.
30 minutes. I wasn't afraid to have fun. You know, we did let some things that happen are pretty funny. And so we had a sense of humor about it. And I think it went really well. He's in.
That's awesome.
So thank you for the good advice.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, and now that you went through that process, wouldn't you say that that's the right way to do it in general? Like if you had to give
a suggestion
to your friends or something?
Definitely. If my son ever asked me, hey, what did we do? You know, if he forgot, I'd be like, oh, take your kid right. for a walk. Like if when he's a dad and many, many years in the future, I would give right. him the same advice. And what you said about Nancy, we did the same thing where Melanie... it was responsible for the talk with the girls.
Right. And in that way, let's put it this way. If you had been there for that talk, it would have been a different kind of talk, right? Because your daughters probably would never have been comfortable talking about this with their father, a man there, right?
Definitely not. Definitely not. And you should have the talk with your kids, because if they don't hear it from you, they're going to hear it from the television or from TikTok. Mm-hmm. Or from
music
their friends.
Music
videos. Right. They're going, just like you did, they're going to learn about it. Don't forget what it's like to be a little kid.
That is so true. I'm really glad you chimed in on that, Cyrus, because it's good to know kind of firsthand how using that paradigm actually works out. Now, I'm curious, did you do the two talks back to back, or did you do everything in one talk?
We did most of it in one talk, and then he had his school thing a couple of days later, and then we talked again about what he learned in the school. So yes and no to that, I guess.
Yeah. So in a way, it kind of worked out. Not that you had to do it in two stages, obviously, but it sort of was natural to do that because you were maybe deprogramming him a little bit after what he learned in
definitely.
School.
Definitely. One of the things I was telling him is like, one of the reasons why we were laughing and having so much fun with it is like, don't be that kid. Don't be that kid in class who can't contain the information coming in and you just start laughing or making a fool out of yourself. Don't make it a joke. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's serious, but it's not the end of the world. Nothing bad is happening to you when you change. I think, you know, just on the heels of what you just said, Cyrus, I think that is probably for many kids the most difficult thing is when your body starts changing and you don't know why and you don't understand, you know, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And there's no good adult father figure or father or mother there to guide you. You're going to be guided, rightly or wrongly, by the kids that you associate with.
Yeah, I think it's even worse for girls to not have the talk from their mom.
Oh, yeah.
Because how frightening would that be?
I don't remember the exact circumstances, but I do remember being informed by I didn't go to school with her, but it must have been in adulthood. But the bodily changes that take place for a girl happened suddenly without warning. She had no idea what was going on. Her mother never told her anything or what to expect or anything. And she was actually kind of traumatized by it because she was terrified at not understanding what was happening. And that kind of stuck in my mind, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's important that we give our children wholesome, chaste, virtue-based explanation of these topics so that not only will they know and not be taken by surprise, but also that they won't get warped by the sometimes ridiculous things that their playmates will say.
Yeah.
Well, very
good. Yeah, and it's that mom probably was embarrassed, or she's like, I don't want to have the, you know, it's she'll figure
maybe,
it out.
Or maybe negligent.
Or thought, you know, I've got 6 more months, or I have a year till I need to worry about it. Mm-hmm. You don't really have that year, that range. For everyone is
right.
pretty big. It's a few years.
That's true. Yeah. And it can depend upon, you know, your diet, your environment, medications. I suppose there are all sorts of things. But I'm glad you brought that up, Cyrus. I'm glad to hear that that advice worked well for you. And I really do hope for the lady that sent me the note that that's something that if you do that, that you will look back on it later and say, yeah, that really worked out well. You can join me by listening to The Patrick Madrid Show on the Relevant Radio app, live each weekday at 8 to 11 a.m. And thanks for listening.